Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back. Hour two of the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Thursday edition. And I've got some strange and troubling reporting out of the great state of Wisconsin. And I've got to ask, you, our fair audience, and you, Fancy Brian, and you, Evan, to listen closely and see if you can answer this question. From a conservative's point of view, what characteristics would you speculate a Democrat might have? Like, you know, visually, I can look at them and I know they're a Democrat because they do this, or they wear this, or they look like this. Just a little rampant speculation for just a minute or two, and I'll get to the point. 844-967-2789, because I can tell you what it is that a certain specific conservative speculated was a Republican, a Democrat, and I can tell you why. But how about you, Fancy? You got any characteristics of the typical Dem? They might wear a mask in public, God forbid.
Wearing masks in public, kind of like a Birkenstock version of Donald Sutherland in Animal House. I don't know. Like a hippie professor
Donald
type.
Donald Sutherland in Animal House. He was the professor that went to reach the coffee on the high shelf.
Yeah,
and his ass hang out.
Yeah, the one that got the kids high.
Relations with Otter's girlfriend.
Yeah.
That is the stereotypical Democrat.
Something like that, or like something with like.
How about modern? How about, you know, put modern like, spin? Because that's
that's
like
the
a
point. That's the point.
Movie.
These are conservatives we're talking about here. So I'm trying to think of through their lens, not necessarily my lens. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I've seen some people. They do what the colorful hair dyeing.
Yeah.
Well, they must be Democrats for sureies, right?
If you dyed your hair, you're probably a Democrat unless you're part of some cheerleading squad.
How about like facial tattoos? Like Post Malone, he's got to be a Democrat, right? Because he's got facial
tattoos. If they vote at all.
Well, I figured they probably just vote illegally because they have facial tattoos. And
of
therefore,
course.
You can stereotypically, cast them as the left.
Yeah, if you never think about it at all, sure.
Well, let me tell you why I'm how about conduct? Any conduct that you would say, other than perhaps harvesting votes and trying to get Joe Biden into the presidency, what conduct would you say typifies a damn liberal Marxist revolutionary?
Nagging self-righteousness.
Now that hits a little close to home, but
I'm just trying to. Part of my job is like I'm an actor, right? I've been acting for 20 years. My job is to go and try and put myself in the shoes of somebody else and try and act like them. And so I'm trying to go through the exercise of this literally on the spot while we're talking about this.
Acting.
Yeah, so I'm acting, you know, and that's what I'm doing is I'm trying to think about what I think the conservative viewpoint or in general, because I know several of them. That's not necessarily all of them, but. What lens do they see us through their lens? So I'm looking through two lenses here.
A rose-colored set, and then, you know, sort of a crazy-ass conservative set. So, you know, they're whatever your method of acting, it's troubling. It's a little troubling. Let me tell you what Michael Gableman, the special prosecutor in the state of Wisconsin. Well, apparently he's trying to identify, you know, the people that work in the elections predicated on sight. Like, oh, that looks like a Democrat.
How would he know? He was out of the state during the election.
Well, Assembly Republican attorney Michael Gableman, corrupted former Supreme Court justice, is probing the backgrounds of public employees and contractors working on elections to determine their political leanings, including one who he believes
is a Democrat. And here's why. Here are the characteristics of a Democrat. She lives with her boyfriend. She loves snakes. She plays video games. And here's the coup de grace. She has a nose ring. Clearly a Democrat.
Oh, well, yeah, okay.
Was it the snake or the nose ring?
Probably the nose ring.
So you think that stereotype could hold true in this case?
Again, I'm not necessarily saying that all people with nose rings vote Democrat. I'm just saying they generally don't vote Republican.
You've just never seen any of the women for Trump sporting a nose ring down at the rallies.
Generally not, but that doesn't necessarily mean they don't. And it doesn't. I mean, I've seen a lot of women in the Trump situations that do have piercings, just not necessarily in their nose.
Tramp stamps all around. Peroxide blonde. Oh, there's some peroxide to go around. Let me read more from this Gableman article, because the response from a fellow Republican, oh, it's priceless. Let me tell you. Gableman's tally of how he perceives other political views was included in a set of documents he quietly posted online while getting sued under the state's open records law. We might get back to that story as well. Gableman, a former corrupted state Supreme Court justice, has been conducting a review of the 2020 election at taxpayer expense for partisan assembly Republicans since last summer. The latest disclosure about his work prompted one of his fellow Republicans to renew her call to shut down his review. Senator Kathy Bernier says this: "I am so over Michael Gableman. He's not right." She went on to say, and let's not forget, she leads the Senate Elections Committee. She's not a crank. She was an elections clerk before she eventually was elected to the state Senate. More of her quote here from the Journal Sentinel. "I can speculate as to why he didn't run for Supreme Court again in 2018. And that speculation would be he's incompetent, in my opinion." This is a Republican state senator saying this about their partisan investigator. You would never see that in a real investigator, that they go on to speculate on things. They deal with facts. He's an absolute joke. Yes, that's what Republicans now say about you, Michael Gableman, you corrupt bastard. Gableman has used his $676,000 budget to look into the backgrounds of those who work for the Center for Tech and Civic Life and other nonprofit groups. The records show the center provided more than $10 million to Wisconsin communities to help them run their elections, you know, God forbid, during a coronavirus pandemic. What do you call them? The Zuckerberg Five. That's what Gableman likes to call them. A memo from Gableman's office dubbed a mapping expert who works for Milwaukee as liberally deplorable. Even though she has exhibited no overt signs of rampant partisanship on Facebook or other websites. She's liberally deplorable, although there's no evidence we can point to. We just feel that way about her. I mean, really, this is the investigative conclusions that $700,000 gets us? Here's more. The unsigned memo goes on to contend that Geographic Information Systems analyst Hannah Bubacz, B-U-B-A-C-Z, I don't know how to pronounce that, is probably a Democrat because she plays video games, has a weird nose ring, sometimes colors her hairs, loves nature, God forbid. I mean, you know, my buddy Joel Clayfish has a big show on Thursday nights at the Shaw, raised in the Shaw. Now, he's pretty conservative. His wife is running for governor as a Republican in the state of Wisconsin. He's kind of a nature boy himself, right?
Hunt it, he does love nature.
Stab it, grill it, eat it. I mean, that's kind of his deal. I didn't think that was confined. Love of nature, I didn't think that was confined to Democrats. Loves nature and snakes and lives with a boyfriend, but is not married to him. You know, Republicans go through a series of marriages. And they keep mistresses on the side, but never live in sin.
What does he know about relationships anyway? Do we figure that out yet?
The person in question, Bubacz, B-U-B-A-C-Z, did not say what she thought of the matter, but city spokesman Jeff Fleming said Gableman should engage in speculation.
Without commenting on any specific content in the documents from the Office of Special Counsel, we wish any investigation would focus on facts rather than bizarre or irrelevant speculation. Claire Woodall Vogg, the director of the Milwaukee Elections Commission, said she never saw Bubacz, B-U-B-A-C-Z, act in a partisan way. She said she had virtually no role in the 2020 election. She's literally just an IT person. This is just insane. This is insane that this is what the taxpayers are paying for. She called the memo's conclusions ridiculous. I love that people who play video games are liberal. What about Call of Duty? How about a first-person shooter game? I would say overwhelmingly, vastly. You know, I'm sure Dom shoots him up a bit. But the vast number of first-person shooter game people, I would say, are either MAGA or MAGA adjacent. A little bit more. I hadn't heard that one. That nose rings were limited to Democrats. Although Fancy Brian agrees. Or that loving nature or steaks is. I don't agree with that assessment either. I'm sure there are some Republican snake lovers out there. Well, how many of them voted for Trump? There's at least 75 million of them. I read on. Gableman has asked a judge to jail Bubacz, B-U-B-A-C-Z, election clerks, mayors, and others who he says have not agreed to sit for interviews with him behind closed doors. And behind that green door, I wouldn't sit down with that bastard either. Attorneys for the officials have said any interview should be conducted in public before the Assembly Elections Commission. Gableman's memo also takes aim at Sarah Linsky, an information technology manager for the Wisconsin Elections Commission. The memo, which spells her last name wrong, I pronounce him wrong, he spells him wrong, calls her liberally deplorable because she worked as a field organizer for the Iowa Democratic Party for 5 months, 8 years ago, while she was in college. Bubacz provided data to the National Vote at Home Institute, one of the nonprofit groups working for the Center of Tech and Civic Life. Gableman and other Republicans have contended the center's work was inappropriate. Now, courts have thrown out 3 lawsuits over the grant, finding there's nothing illegal about him. Something wrong with this man. Something very, very wrong with this man. Michael Gableman, speculating on your politics predicated on how you look. He looks like a freaking ham sandwich. That makes him a Scott Walker guy. Come back, more Devils.
He called me fat and said I was going to die on a toilet.
I eat because I'm unhappy. I'm unhappy because I eat.
When they go low, we get high. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Thursday edition. Welcome back from the 420 break. One of my favorite times of the day. Well, I can tell you, Republicans don't like marijuana. I see the Democratic Party now making stickers saying Republicans hate marijuana. Probably appropriate. I don't think the actual rank and file Republicans hate marijuana. I look at the polling. They're supportive of marijuana. But we're not even close to legalizing marijuana, not here in the state of Wisconsin. They had a show hearing, the first ever on legalization in the state of Wisconsin yesterday in honor of the 420 ceremonial holiday. But it ain't going anywhere. And they didn't even want people to talk about recreational marijuana. You know, it's just a hearing on legalizing medical marijuana. Let's constrain all conversations to that. Whatever. But I would say, you know, if I had to choose qualities of a Republican, let's say, pompous, often red-nosed. I know many of their politicians. I've noted the capillaries have broken in their nose. I can't quite attribute that to anything, but the Tavern League, they've got a few ideas. Hating weed. They don't like the weed. A few of them like the cocaine just fine, but weed, that's you know, the hippie stuff. That's what the blacks and the hippies smoke. So they don't like the marijuana, unless they do, but don't like to talk about it because, you know, they can keep people down and put you in jail. Selectively prosecute you if you smoke marijuana or get caught with a little bit. But I find this very troubling, and I don't think ironic's the word, but Gableman, Michael Gableman, the most corrupted Supreme Court justice in Wisconsin history. I think by his own self-assessment, he knew he'd never win re-election. Didn't even bother trying as an incumbent Supreme Court justice. Still a relatively young man, although I would say the way this guy eats, it's going to be a shorter life. But he is now putting out this partisan election review. And of course, we know the outcome. He had already predetermined the outcome. He told us way back, like the day after Fox News had called it for Joe Biden, this corrupted former Supreme Court justice was already calling it a rigged election. He already showed his true colors. He told us what he believed before he was ever empowered and paneled as a special prosecutor on the taxpayer dollar, making like 11 grand a month. And his preliminary report in the state of Wisconsin, if you're unfamiliar, was we should roll back the Electoral College. We should take back our Electoral College votes for Joe Biden. His own attorney, a guy named Bopp from Indiana, and he's going to factor into another story we got today, James Bopp Jr., I believe his attorney's name, contradicted the boss, contradicted his client in the very same assembly elections committee hearing, you know, that empowered the special prosecutor. So the prosecutor's attorney says, there's no way to overturn the election. You're all smart people. You listen to the devil's advocates. You already knew that. But that's part of the fiction, the fantasy that this guy's living. And then, you know, under threat of lawsuit from a Dane County judge, Remington said, you know, you got to release everything. Apparently, his attorney has said, well, we've been deleting the things we find irrelevant. We just decide at random. We don't want to keep that. We're not going to further investigate that. So we're going to destroy all the evidence. Well, as much as he likes to claim, well, I'm a special prosecutor. I'm not a state employee, but he is a state contractor, according to the judge. And he is subject to open records requests. So anyways, this Gableman has had to post some of his internal memos, apparently, for the public's perusal. And he speculates what it is that makes a Democrat. Well, it's a nose ring and colored hair and a love of nature. Those things for sure. Does she drive a Subaru? God forbid. You know, I know.
I can tell you.
I know a couple of progressives that drive Subarus. So
I know for a fact that there's a lot of Republicans that do like snakes. I know that because they put it on their flag that they put underneath the American flag.
Don't tread on that snake, yeah, right? The exactly. Gadsden flag.
Yeah, they love
some
those snakes.
Of them. Hell, I think Joel's got a couple of snakeskin sets of boots, at least a belt or two. I know they're down for snakes. They might kill them, but they're down for them. Anyways, the memo from Gableman's office referred to some contractors, including National Voted Home Institute's Michael Spritzer Rubenstein, as super spreaders and called the top elections officials in four of the state's largest cities cross-pollinators. The memo did not define these terms. So he's just got monikers for them. They're super spreaders or cross-pollinators. And Woodall Vogg, again, she was the, Milwaukee County Elections Administrator, who Gableman's team called Voggy. They got a nickname for her. They just call her Voggy in internal documents, is among those dubbed a cross-pollinator. Now, Woodall Vogg said she didn't know what Gableman was trying to allege, but appeared to be making the election look like a criminal enterprise is part of, in her words, one grand conspiracy theory. I do have concerns that it's going to discourage people to work in public service and collaborating even this year while I rely on other departments for things like IT services, grant assistance, things like that across the city, she said. Now, Bernier, we talked about the Republican senator that called this guy incompetent, and that's why he didn't run for re-election, said, I don't know what the hell's wrong with this fella. Bernier, who served for more than a decade as Chippewa County's clerk before she was elected to the state legislature, said she has long watched public officials in Wisconsin work on elections in a nonpartisan, professional manner. That's true even for county clerks who run as Democrats or Republicans, she said. Here's one more quote. Whether somebody's a Democrat or Republican does not mean they can't carry out their duties and responsibilities in an unbiased manner, she said. So if that person has a nose ring and whatever else was actually a registered Republican, He'd be okay with that? Maybe. Maybe. The other one, the liberal deplorable. No evidence whatsoever. No colored hair, no nose ring, no aspersions to cast other than liberalism. She must be. She's the worst sort. Sort of the nondescript ones. You can't pick out of a lineup because she doesn't wear a nose ring or have facial tattoos. Come back. More Devil's Advocates. Your phone calls could be next. 844-967-2789.
Hey, you want to get high, man?
Shame on you.
Kind of grabs you by the boo-boo, don't it?
The Devil's Advocates. Never personal, only politics.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Thursday edition. It's Thursday, right, Fancy Brand? That means tomorrow's Friday.
Yeah, as far as we know, it's still Thursday.
And then we got a glorious weekend ahead, I hear, pushing 80 degrees on Saturday. That's what I'm talking about. No way in hell I was going on Fox News this weekend. I wasn't putting on a monkey suit and sitting in a stuffy little studio to get framed in a box for 3 minutes on Fox News and ask me why Joe Biden's rampant inflation or crime at the border or some crap. You know,
tell me, Mike,
I never get to pick the topic or any of the conversation.
Why are you ruining the country?
Yes,
time?
Defend Joe Biden's whatever. Yeah, not this weekend, Fox News. You know, maybe some other time, but not this weekend. 844-967-2789. Sean from Madison. Welcome, Sean. What do you got?
Hey, guys. Hey, I just wanted you to know that I listen to you all the time. I'm friends with rockers, so I've even been there in the studio, but, you know, for musical things. And, I love you guys. I love America, but in the right way, not the wrong way. And so, I don't know, I'm always going up on Newsy. You know what that is, right? The Newsy app?
I've heard of it. Tell me more, though, Sean.
Yeah, well, I just like to go on there, and when they're just throwing out all kinds of crazy conspiracy stuff, you know, I just like to correct them and, you know, sometimes do some research and tell them what's, you know, where they're wrong or lying or whatever. And then their comeback is always something like, you know, you're a groomer or, you know.
Some thoughtful idiotic response of that sort, yes. Sean, the only time I've ever found, I mean, I had, you know, the bad fortune of having lunch with some old friends and a couple of Trumpsters the other day at a post-funeral. That wasn't the circumstance
I would have chosen.
But I did get the opportunity to sit down with a couple of Trumpsters. And I feel like you can persuade people if you're having conversations about real things. But the thing that usually helps, Sean, you need at least a 12-pack of beer and like a campfire, and it may take all night. But I can move some hearts and minds with enough beers in your belly.
Right on.
But trying to present facts to them, you know, like, look at this article in the New York Times. That is so not persuasive to them because, A, you know, it's fake news. It's the New York Times. It's the paper of record, of course, but not as far as they're concerned. If they didn't hear it on Fox News, they don't believe it. But if you just talk to other human beings, Sean, like we're trying to do right now, I mean, man, you know, after band practice, you sit down with your buddy who might have that MAGA hat in the back of his closet, and you say, hey, man, what about this? What about that? And I think there are so many points of commonality. I think you can win hearts and minds. I think you can move conversations. But
without a doubt. Well, see, this is I'm from North Carolina. I grew up in North Carolina.
Which part, and if I may ask, Sean?
No problem. Winston-Salem area.
Oh, sure. I lived for a time in Raleigh. I got family down in Charlotte.
Okay. I lived in Charlotte for a long time before I moved to Madison. But anyway, I was going to say, you know, there was a time a long time ago when I was a Republican. Things were a lot different then. You know, we're talking back in the, you know, late 70s, early 80s, you know. And even then, looking back, you know, I myself now would probably disagree with some of the things. But it wasn't until I got good and away from a lot of, well, at least in my circle of people, from a lot of just bigotry, sexism, racism, whatever ism. You know, there's a lot of that there.
It was alive and well in the early 80s when I lived there, but go ahead, continue, Sean. Sorry to interrupt.
Oh, no, no problem. All I was going to say was, so, I mean, you're right. There are a lot of things that when you sit down with a person, you realize, hey, we both like shooting guns. We both like, you know, this or that, you know, hunting or, you know, like you said, drinking beer or whatever. You know, and then once you start having that dialogue, like what you're talking about, and you let them know that you can appreciate some of their points, that is like a door creeping open, and then you can put forth, you know, some ideas of like, you know, acceptance or, you know, various things, why it should be that way, why we should love all of each other. You know, like we're all Americans.
Yeah.
We should all stand for each other. If
Absolutely.
I see someone hurt, I want to help them.
But you know, we would all help our
good American.
We would all probably stop as good Samaritans. If you were driving down the road, mm-hmm. I got a road right past my studio here, University Ave.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if mm-hmm. I was sitting here and someone got hurt on the side of the road, of course I would render aid in any way I could. I wouldn't stop and mm-hmm. wait a second. Do you got a nose mm-hmm. ring? Are you one of those liberals? You know what I mean? Who judges their neighbor in such a fashion? And I did business in this town in Madison, Wisconsin. You know, there's a big gap between me being a college broadcaster and me being a so-called adult professional broadcaster. And the gap in the middle, I was doing business in the city of Madison. And the one thing I never asked a single client, a single customer, what's your politics? I never talked to people in those terms. If I was good at my job, I had more clients and customers than I ever knew what to do with. And I was always fortunate in that way. I was pretty good at my job. But my politics never factored in. And I managed like investments and real estate. And I knew a lot of my clients probably pulled the lever red. But once upon a time, that meant a lot less to me. Sean, I cared a lot less about politics when I used to think that even the Republicans were well-intentioned. And that all changed for me. Right around the time Scott Walker dropped the bomb on the state of Wisconsin, I stopped believing that these parties were, you know, good people and interchangeable parts. And first it was going to be the Dems and then the Republicans. And you could argue about policy. I argued about the Iraq war with my banker buddies at some point, and I was against it. And they were all for it. They were all uninformed Republicans. And I felt like I was reading all the articles and I was well informed. But anyway, Sean, man,
you can only lead
them to water or beer, as the case may be.
It does help me that I am the seventh great nephew of Thomas Jefferson.
Oh, no kidding.
His brother, Field Jefferson, is my seventh great grandfather. But, you know, I bring that up to them sometimes and say, you know, or bring up the fact that I myself do enjoy shooting, you know.
Yeah.
And then some, they'll calm down enough to like listen to what I'm trying to say. I'm like, I'm not against you. I just want us to have, you know, a proper dialogue, you know, back and forth.
And
let's figure stuff out.
Sean, when I talked to my Republican buddies at this funeral the other day, when I got done, when I made a strong point, and I used my own personal experience. I think it was a strong point because they both kind of nodded and said, yeah, but you're the exception to the rule. You know what I mean? Like, you're one of the good ones. You've heard that term before, haven't you, Sean? I'm sure many of our black friends have.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Sean, any other thoughts, man?
I understand that. Just like I just wish we could all come together and just love America, all of us, all together, because ultimately that's what needs to happen.
Sean, you would think an international pandemic, you would think something like a Ukrainian-Russian invasion of Ukraine, appreciate your call, sir, you would think something of that nature would rally the American people, and it used to. I mean, think about the 2000 election, how divisive that was for the country. That was Bush v. Gore, right? and the Florida Supreme Court and the U.S. Supreme Court waded in. And I mean, I hated that decision. I thought it was a corrupt decision by a corrupt court. And don't follow our precedent ever again. But for this one, we're going to pick W. And I know many of my liberal friends, my progressive friends, my Democratic friends, we didn't like that outcome. Not one little bit. I mean, talking about illegitimate outcomes. But I never heard people bemoan the fact after 9/11. After 9/11 happened, on George W. Bush's watch, I might add, people would question the readiness, you know, Condoleezza Rice, and yes, we received memos. Bin Laden insisted on attacking within the United States, and yeah, we just didn't react to it. But the initial reaction of the American people when George W. Bush stood on that pile of rubble that was Ground Zero, I can't hear you. Well, we can hear you, and the whole world's going to hear us soon, right? Something to that effect, George W. said. And at the time, the American people rallied to our president, Democrats and Republicans. Like 96, some crazy high approval rating for W. Now, of course, he squandered it all. He lied us into a war in Iraq. He blew up the economy, at least allowed the housing bubble to explode on his watch, drove Wall Street into a ditch. But he had the highest moderate approval ratings of any president after 9/11. Something like 3,000 people that died. It was tragic. It affected all of us. It hurts my heart to even think about it. But for a big portion of the last 2 to 3 years, we've been losing up to 3,000 people a day to a pandemic. And we've got a Republican Party that calls Tony Evers tyrannical or Joe Biden tyrannical, cheers a mask mandate, ready to get in fistfights with a flight attendant that might ask them to pull a mask over their nose. That's too much sacrifice to make. It's tyranny. You're trying to boss me around. This is America, freedom. I mean, what happened to caring about your fellow human being? If a guy was dying in the road, I have every belief. I believe in my heart. A guy like Gary, a guy like Dave from Mequon, probably even CJ, would stop and help that person. But that very same person trying to board an airplane wearing a mask, they look at him, oh, why are you wearing a mask? There's no mandate, you libtard. Right? They'd be so quick to cast their politics on another human being. Why do we need to do that?
I went on a plane a while back, and I was wearing a mask, and I looked at a guy who was, you know, not wearing a mask at all. I'm like, hey, man, this is like right at the beginning of the pandemic. I had to go for a funeral. And the guy's like, he looked at me and he just like, you know, when you just call someone and a really bad name or whatever, instead of calling me a really bad name, he just goes, liberal. Like he looked at me like full on rage in his face. And like, rather than calling me like any of the swears that I can't say on the air right now.
Yes, I'd prefer if you did.
Full on rage in his face and got really angry, like liberal. Like, I'm like, what? Oh, God, please stop insulting me with exactly what I am. My goodness, what a jerk I am.
Now, was he a big guy?
Oh, no, not at all. I just stood there and stared at him. I'm like, are you going to do anything? And then he slowly backed away like the Kool-Aid man.
Because just because you might be a liberal doesn't make you a pacifist.
I'm also twice the size of the guy, and I don't think he really got that point.
Dude, you are almost twice the size of every other human I know, so I wouldn't mess with you. Not in a street brawl. I know, hug and fall, right? Hug and fall.
Grab and fall. That's my technique.
Let's talk more about a similarly sized guy, but much more pompous, Michael Gableman. Gableman and his staff in the Assembly Office of Special Counsel. This is other reporting about Gableman today. Gableman and his staff have been destroying public records deemed irrelevant or useless, according to their attorney. Huh.
Well, Robin Voss does it. It's cool, right?
Whose criterion? Well, their own criterion is my understanding. The practice, according to this reporting, is in violation of state law. I mean, the guy was a Supreme Court justice. I think he might know that. They even tried to try this issue, right? Before a court? Oh, it's a special investigation. We don't have to show you the records. The judge said, yes, you do. And then we find out from his attorney, now post-finding from the judge. You know, you used to be a justice, right? You understand the whole pecking order. Judges make orders from the bench. You get how that works? Said you can't destroy the records. You can't make arbitrary decisions on what can be deleted or destroyed because you've decided you don't want to investigate that particular topic. But you're going to pass out memos with nicknames, with monikers for people like Woodall Boggs and call people liberal deplorables. And of course, cast aspersions because that one with the nose ring is clearly a liberal. Come back. Sure wasn't Game of Mid on that flight? More Devils.
She would not be my first choice, that I can tell you.
Fool me once, shame on
I didn't hear a word she said. I was looking at the James Brown wig.
You fool me, we can't get fooled again.
You fool!
And I love to mix in circles, clicks, and social coteries. That's me. Hand me my nose ring, leave me
The Devil's Advocates. Radio for nasty women everywhere.
You liberal deplorables, thanks for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. More reporting from the Journal Sentinel I'd like to share with you folks. The happier happy hour, it's going to roll in. The tide's rolling this way. I can feel it. The weekend's nearly here. My little buddy Dominic joins us at 5. Your phone calls, you can start right now. Dial us up, 844-967-2789. I want to get back to the records not being retained by the Office of Special Counsel. Reporting thereof here at the Journal Sentinel, the paper of record, Molly Beck. Here is the statement. When a document comes to the OSC, the Office of Special Counsel, that's Gableman's, office share with the liposuction clinic down in Brookfield, apparently. They call it the OSC. Sounds better that way. The OSC evaluates whether the document is of use to the investigation. If it is, that document is downloaded and kept for further investigation or for use in the OSC's reports and recommendations. If the document is irrelevant or useless to the investigation, the OSC deletes that document. Now, that's Gableman's attorney, James Bopp, in a letter dated April 8th to the plaintiffs in the public record suit, American Oversight's attorneys. In light of this standard procedure, the OSC, again, that's Gableman's office, routinely deletes documents and text messages that are not of use to our investigation or that we don't want you to see, right?
Pretty much.
Because how are we to know as the public? If they delete them, if they tell us, well, they're irrelevant, we aren't going to retain them because we don't want to investigate them. What if that's exonerating evidence?
Let me put it this way. If you believe that this election is a fraud and you believe in this investigation and you believe that this is happening, what if they, let's say, get some evidence and they say, well, it's irrelevant, and they decide to delete it? Wouldn't you want to know that? Wouldn't you want to know that they have maybe brushed aside some evidence that may have possibly gotten them to where they wanted to be?
Well, of course, that would be exculpatory evidence. And unless they can lay down some evidence of some sort of imagined voter fraud on a massive scale that would have tipped the scales to Donald Trump, well, of course, it's just partisanship. And they don't want to find exculpatory evidence. And if they found some, they certainly don't want you to know that they have it, right? You, the people of the great state of Wisconsin, you, the American people. Because this plan, the end of this plan is this is the first step of the dominoes. If they pull back the Electoral College votes here in the state of Wisconsin, they fully believe that other Republican-led legislatures in swing states would follow our example. And the next thing you know, what, Donald Trump's the president again? So anyways, back to this standard and practice of the OSC. The OSC, again, the Office of Special Counsel, Gableman's office, routinely deletes documents and text messages that are not of use to the investigation. According to them, an irrelevant or useless document includes documents that the OSC is not intending to further investigate. Because it might lead us to the truth, and it's not intending to rely upon for its recommendations or reports, because it might be exculpatory. The letter was included in a motion filed Wednesday to Dane County Circuit Court by the American Oversight's attorneys asking the presiding judge in the lawsuit to order Gableman to stop deleting records deemed by him to be unimportant to his review's goals. Judge Frank Remington on Thursday, that's today, folks, issued a ruling siding with American Oversight and ordered Gableman to stop deleting records that could be responsive to the group's request. Under pressure from former President Donald Trump to further litigate Joe Biden's victory in Wisconsin, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss hired this crackpot Gableman in June of 2021 to conduct a review of the 2020 election, and they're paying the man $11,000 a month. Biden defeated Trump in Wisconsin by about 21,000 votes, something we've recounted, something that the Wisconsin Institute of Law and Liberty, which is the conservative lawyer group, the law firm of the right, said no voter fraud. The recount said no voter fraud. The Wisconsin Nonpartisan Legislative Audit Bureau said no voter fraud. Gableman said, there's probably voter fraud, but I'm going to delete any evidence that doesn't indicate that, and I'm not going to present any evidence, but I'm going to claim it happened. And it's all Zuckerberg and the, you know, nose ring wearing Democrats' faults. A little bit more here. Biden defeated Trump in Wisconsin by about 21,000 votes. We've talked about that. An election outcome confirmed by judges, recounts, and state audits. But Trump has worked to sow doubt in the 2020 loss, pushing false claims of widespread voter fraud and urging Republicans in battleground states to embrace his distortions. And Gableman, he's a contortionist. He'd find any conspiracy to pretzel himself into believing. The Wisconsin probe was initially supposed to conclude before the end of 2021, but has carried on. Voss has said he will pay Gableman through the end of April, but Gableman has put public pressure on Voss to abandon his deadline, right? Public pressure means he went on partisan Steve Bannon's podcast from Mar-a-Lago and encouraged the kooky Trump supporters to pressure the Republican Assembly leader to extend his self-serving contract so he can continue breaking laws, deleting emails, and, you know, serving the public good, or the partisan good, more accurately. Throughout, Gableman has been slow to respond to requests for records related to his review by journalists and American Oversight, at times ignoring the request altogether. I look at your request with disdain. After American Oversight brought lawsuits against Gableman over the withheld records, Gableman sought to block their release until his work was complete. In March, Remington, again, he's the judge, ordered the release of more than 700 documents Gableman wanted to keep private. The records revealed Gableman and his staff had conducted little or no investigation. They're not actually investigating anything, because everything they find that might actually be, you know, worthy of investigation, well, if it's irrelevant to me, I'm just going to throw her in the old shredder. A little bit more here. Gableman's team was buying furniture and determining how to store files months after it was supposed to start its work. The records were printed, but electronic copies were deleted. Bob wrote in an April memo, well, why would you keep the records? Despite denying the request, those responsive documents were printed and saved in accordance with state law in case production was later ordered. The digital copies of the documents were then deleted as a matter of routine procedure. But that's not routine procedure. I mean, do you think the investigators, do you think the DOJ, do you think they just got shredders next to the files? Oh, this one's probably irrelevant. Let's just throw her in the shredder, right? Oh, this one says the guy's not guilty. That doesn't fit with our intent whatsoever. Oh, man, get that one in the shredder quick. Come back with us. Join the Devil's Advocates, the happier happy hour. We're going to roll right on into it. The Thursday version, the Friday Eve edition. Dominic joins the party. You could as well. Dial us up. 844-967-2789.
I tell you, I gotta plead ignorance on this thing, because if anyone had said anything to me at all when I first started here, that sort of thing was frowned upon.
Who's the more foolish, the fool or the fool who follows it?